Hello, this is my diary for Tuesday, August 7th, on my trip to 2012, on my trip to Kampala, Uganda. I'm just going to read from my journal. I got a wake-up call at 5:30 a.m. and showered, and a shepherd at Bethesda Clinic came to pick me up at 5:45 a.m., and we ran to the Bible House. It felt good to run and get some exercise. I'll get back to that when I get back to Chicago. There were five shepherds, Missionary Joseph Chung and Dr. Joseph Chung and myself, and one shepherd prepared a testimony message. We sang a hymn, "How Great Thou Art," and the shepherds all prayed and for a very long time, and they are following the same pattern as UBF missionaries around the world. They have great learning minds, I can see. I was wondering what would the ministry become if it was left to become uniquely Ugandan, if it was left to develop an indigenous way of worship. What form would it take? I guess they need to learn the faith and the character of the missionaries, and then it could develop uniquely to their country. After daily bread, I went for breakfast at the guest house, and Dr. John Jun and Peter Chang were playing tennis, and they're doing very well. I could never keep up with them. They are in very good shape. Dr. John Jun must be in the late 60s, 70 maybe. I slept for a while and ate the complimentary breakfast, one sausage, an omelet slice, two dry crispy toasts, two cups of coffee with hot milk, and a mango juice. It was simple yet delicious. I think I'm losing weight from just eating simple food here. I talked to one girl who was from England and studying clinical psychology. And later on Tuesday night, I also talked to a guy who was from America, from Boston. And he actually has got a PhD in social sciences. And he came to hear lectures from a renowned professor here. So many intellectuals and scholars are coming to hear lectures and to study in this atmosphere. I saw one Caucasian young man playing basketball, and there were those two other girls and a man, but still 99% of the people are African, and now I know how it feels to be in a minority. But even though I'm a minority, as I said many times before, all the people are friendly, courteous, and polite, and curious about me. After breakfast, I made my way to the Bible House, where I set up in the chapel, and there I sat writing my journal and talking to shepherds. I got to see the brothers' common life apartment. I greeted many people, maybe 10 to 15. I guess this is the best way that I can serve others and spend time with the shepherds and get to be their friend. I was also befriended by a common life cat. It's so loving and affectionate, and it reminds me of my own cat, Trixie. And the cat took a liking to me, and it was actually behaving exactly like Trixie, so I realize it's genetic behavior. In the worship area, there's a registration chart for people who went to the conference, and I wrote down all their names so that we could pray for them. We have some fellowships here: Spirit Fellowship, Jireh Fellowship, Ebenezer Fellowship, and Royal Priesthood Fellowship, and Living Stone Fellowship. I basically spent my time around the Bible House. I must have talked to 10 to 15 people, and the African shepherds like to talk. They talked about healthcare, corruption in their government. They shared about their own area of study, and they were very happy to talk to me. It was a good mission to get to know them personally. They were getting ready for school and going to the campus and all dressed up in their dress pants and dress shirts. And Innocent was actually traveling to his old campus to get his transcript so he can go to a college near Bethesda Clinic. He traveled by bus on the way, and he told me that a person stood up in the bus and preached in the bus. That person gave an excellent exposition on sin and salvation in Jesus, and the whole bus was quietly listening and nodding their heads in agreement, and Innocent even gave the man a water bottle to show his gratitude. Can you imagine that happening in America? Innocent also told me about Ugandan television, for I mentioned sometimes I noticed some things I noticed. I noticed that there was a lot of Mexican soap operas translated into English. He told me that every channel has these, and they are free to broadcast, and the young people are really liking the lives of the soap opera stars. Some even miss church in order to watch the Mexican soaps. They could be a source of corrupting source in society, enticing young people away from Ugandan heritage. There's also Algerian news, That kind of interested me because we would never have that in the U.S., and we kind of trust ABC, NBC, CNN. And there's also health and wealth preachers and miracle preachers, like Benny Hinn was preaching, and there was also Ugandan preachers preaching rhythmic sentences and reaching crescendos, and people just quietly listening and nodding their heads in agreement. There were many Ugandan music videos singing in their native languages. The music videos were suggestive but very tame compared to U.S. standards, and there was also some good news stations, but only broadcasting Kenyan, Ugandan, Rwandan local news and local news, and almost no world news. Innocent also talked to me about Idi Amin. Idi Amin was the dictator, Muslim ruler here, and a dictator in the 1970s, and during his time there was a lot of corruption and killing. He gave the Muslims some special privileges, like prime land to build their mosques, and there's a wonderful, wonderfully built mosque at the entrance of Makerere University, and it's a multi-building facility with manicured grounds, and it has an aura of peace, stability, and security, and it's the first building on the campus that people see, so it makes it very attractive to people in an unstable situation. Idi Amin provided the land and the means to be built, and Gaddafi of Libya, the former president of Libya, gave lots of funds for Muslim expansion in Uganda. He built a huge mosque in Kampala with a huge dome, but in the 1980s he came and declared publicly that the Bible was not true. The president of Uganda told him not to come to Uganda again. During Idi Amin's reign there was a lot of deaths. The Asians were persecuted with claims that they were bleeding the country of Uganda. And many were killed and burned in buildings, and eventually Idi Amin was exiled to Saudi Arabia, where he died in exile. Later, about 4 p.m., I made my way back to the hotel to sleep, and I was very tired, but around 6:30, I made my way back to the Bethesda Clinic. I started to walk back and forth by myself. People are very friendly. The border drivers really want to give me a ride on their taxis. One Ugandan man told me that they think I'm a European, and they want to have the prestige of driving a European on their motorcycles. I think it would be very unsafe. I'm too big, and I would fall back on my head, I think. Nobody wears a helmet here, but everyone is very friendly, and they mostly look in curiosity, and there's no threatening gestures. The most dangerous thing is crossing the road to get to the Bible House because of all the traffic. After I went back to the Bible House at 6:30, the missionaries were preparing a wonderful feast for the mission team that was returning to their safari excursion. They had gone by bus and boat, and there was 37 of them returning. We all ate together, sharing wonderful stories of animals they saw, giraffes, hippos, birds, crocodiles, etc. We ate Korean food, and it was a joyful feast. After we ate, we had some fellowship, and the buses loaded up to go to the conference site, where people would spend the night. I stayed behind, for I was staying at the Makerere guest house. I also learned from Ivan about land. Land is so fertile, and it can be used greatly to make grain, etc., for export, but the land is partitioned off by families. It is subdivided for the children. The land exists in remote areas. If people in the cities feel that they cannot live in the cities any longer, there is always their home village where they can have a little piece of land and live on it. People are protective of their land, and as a result, there can be no corporate farming to produce a great yield for export. The villagers are poor, sewage systems are broken down, and young people want to keep living on the cities as long as possible. But their family village is always a backup. Pray for land reform here in this country. Dr. Joseph Chung asked me to write daily bread for the next day in the morning. What a privilege and honor and a great opportunity. I also want to note that there's many Westerners here in this hotel, but I noticed that people really don't want to talk to each other too much. Like, I came up to one person and said, what country are you from? And said, USA. And we talked, he's from Boston. People just keep to themselves, basically. And one girl was from England that I mentioned. And so they could be from around the world, different countries. But no one really talks too much to each other. Well, good night, and I'll report tomorrow, Wednesday, on my little excursion here to Uganda.